When was the last time you invited someone just to come to church and hear the Word of God proclaimed? Do you know that that is involvement in the evangelistic process?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
May I suggest that the evangelistic efforts of many Christians are ineffective because they are so diffuse. We have a tendency to spread ourselves too thin. Many Christians make the mistake of trying to evangelize everybody and they end up winning nobody. The time and the energy required in praying and working for the conversion and consolidation of only one soul are so vast that not many of us will feel it our duty to spread our net very wide. We shall concentrate on one or two or perhaps three at a time. And may I suggest that this is an approach that I believe is consistent with the biblical principle of reproduction via multiplication rather than addition. When we engage in multiplication, what we're doing is involving other people in the process. Addition is doing the work all by ourselves. Multiplication may reduce our personal statistics, but done rightly, it will increase our corporate statistics. As more people become involved in the evangelistic process, more people will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is biblical. The whole concept of multiplication versus addition, multiplying our influence by influencing other people, involving them in the evangelistic process, is a biblical and a very practical concept. We multiply our outreach by involving more and more people in the evangelistic process, in their regular connections of life. But if we are to successfully complete this great task, it will mean that we must be marked by fidelity to several significant principles. We will need at least two things. Let me give them to you briefly. One, we will need a concentrated method. And then secondly, we will need a concentrated message. Now, may I suggest a concentrated method for your becoming involved in the evangelistic process? I think there are four steps in a concentrated method. Number one, we shall try to win his friendship. That's step one. It's fairly safe to say that it is hard to win somebody's soul unless we have first won his confidence. As a general rule, we cannot preach Christ as a professional undertaking, like a doctor prescribes a medicine. Bringing a man to a saving knowledge of Christ is dealing with eternal matters. It is a deeply personal matter between two people. It will require our winning his confidence and his friendship. One, we shall try to win his friendship. Two, we shall pray for him. All the cunning or persuasion or love, for that matter, in the world will not win him to Christ unless the Holy Spirit is at work in his heart, drawing him to himself. Even Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." John 6 in verse 44. The hand of God, which gently moves the sinner toward Christ, is released into activity by our prayers. We shall pray for him. I believe it's right here in this ministry of prayer that the genuineness of our Christian love for Christ and the lost will be tested. Do you really love the lost? Do you really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you really asking him to reduplicate in your life the burden he had for those who so desperately needed him while he walked upon this globe? If you really love the lost, it will be tested here in this ministry of prayer. If you really do, you will commit yourself to this ministry of prayer for those who need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no glamour attached to this service. We always want to be involved in the glamour and the spectacular end of the ministry. There's no glamour attached to this service. We shall receive no commendation from men. It will be our secret service. No one will even know that we're engaging in it. It will be our secret service, but without it, there will be no souls coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, literally into thy treasure room. That's what the Greek word means. Tomein is the word. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It will be your secret service. Do you love Christ and the lost enough to pray for them? The hand of God, which moves that sinner toward Christ, is released into activity through the faithful prayers of God's people. We shall try to win his friendship. We shall pray for him. This is a concentrated strategy, a concentrated method for winning our friends and our neighbors, our loved ones and our fellow workers to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's a third step. We shall strive. It means to agonize. The very word strive means to agonize. We shall strive to live a consistent Christian life before him. Now, we're instructed in the Bible that this is absolutely critical. And we're instructed in the Bible that we're never to do this ostentatiously. That is, we're not to do it pretentiously. We're not to do it flamboyantly. We're not to be showing off, parading our Christianity, or with some unnecessary show. We are instructed never to do it ostentatiously in order to draw attention to ourselves, but we're to do it humbly in order to direct attention to our Lord. So Jesus says in the New Testament, take heed that you do not your alms, your acts of righteousness before men to be seen of them. Matthew 6 and verse 1. But on the other hand, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't do it ostentatiously, but do it humbly. And as they see your good works humbly coming from you, they will learn to glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew the 5th chapter in verse 16. Our goal in this concentrated method is that one day we shall have the privilege of sharing with our friend verbally the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it would be tragic beyond description if our past behavior contradicted our words. Our friend will not hear of Jesus from our lips unless he has first seen Jesus in our lives. His ears will be closed to that which has become offensive to his eyes. So Paul says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 3. May I suggest one final step in this concentrated method and quickly give you the message that I think you need to convey to them? We shall take him to hear the gospel preached. Do you know that's being involved in the evangelistic process? When was the last time you brought someone to hear the message of the gospel preached? When was the last time you invited someone just to come to church and hear the word of God proclaimed? Do you know that that is involvement in the evangelistic process? I remember reading in the New Testament, John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, that Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus, and Jesus preached to him. Jesus gave him the message, but Andrew brought him. John 1, verses 40 and 42. Andrew was always bringing other people into the presence of Jesus so that they could be saved. In John 4, 28 to 30, the Samaritan woman brought her peers in Samaria out to hear Jesus. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. She was involved in the evangelistic process. She brought them out to Jesus, and Jesus proclaimed the truth, and many of them were saved. In the case of most of the people to whom we will minister, there is little or no knowledge of the facts of the gospel or biblical teaching. Much sowing of the seed will probably be necessary before the harvest can come. Now, this is an area where we need to curb our impatience. We need to get our friend under the systematic ministry of the word. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we can trust that God will give us an increase as we follow this concentrated and biblical method of reaching out to those around us with the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that concentrated method? One, we shall try to win his friendship. Two, we shall pray for him. Three, we shall strive to live a consistent Christian life before him so that our behavior does not contradict our belief. And so that when we verbalize, he'll be able to visualize what we're saying in our own lives. And then we shall take him to hear the message of the gospel preached and get him as much as we can under the systematic presentation of the truth of God's word so that ultimately we can lead him to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need not only a concentrated method, but very quickly, we need a concentrated message. I've always believed that there are at least four foundational truths that we need to convey that really, in my mind, are the substance of the message of the gospel. Can I give them to you very quickly? There are at least four foundational truths in this concentrated message that we need to convey. The first is this: we must tell our friend of the fact of sin. We must teach him of the fact of sin. We're taught in the Scripture that all men have fallen short of God's ideal. The fact of sin is something that captivates every one of us. All men have fallen short of God's ideal or have transgressed God's law. Men are guilty either of failing to do what God intended or flagrantly doing what God never intended. Men are all guilty of failing to do what God intended or flagrantly doing what God never intended. We've fallen short of God's ideal, or we've transgressed God's law. So we read in the Scripture, "For there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Ecclesiastes 7 in verse 20. "For there is no one that sinneth not," said Solomon. 1 Kings 8 in verse 46. Job said, "How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh up iniquity like water." He gulps it down is the idea in the Hebrew. Job 15 in verse 16. And this is not just a fancy of the Old Testament, but the New Testament says the same thing. "There's none righteous, no, not one." Romans 3 and verse 20. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3 and verse 23. The first foundational truth in conveying the message of the gospel is the fact of sin. But then there's a second truth, and that is the consequences of sin. And I think this is something we need to share with a man when we're giving to him the message of the gospel, the consequences of his sin. I think here is where Satan is most powerfully efficient. He blinds the eyes of a man to the consequences of his sins. And the great task of a soul winner, the great task of a witness for Jesus Christ, is to convince a man that he, like all other men, is a sinner, and then share with him these powerful, devastating consequences of sin. What are the consequences of sin? Many modern men say we're all in the same boat. The malady is universal. All men have sinned. Why worry about it? God says there's plenty to worry about. And there are three powerful consequences of our sin. And I share these with a man when I seek to lead him to a saving knowledge of Christ. You know what those consequences are? One, alienation from God. Two, bondage to self. Three, conflict with others. One describes our relationship to God. The second describes our relationship to ourselves. The third describes our relationship to others. Those are the consequences of sin. That's why we need a Savior.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively:
it will do us no good to live an honest and upright life. The critical question is, Jesus Christ on the outside or is he on the inside?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.